Hello everyone, welcome to Insights Alley. In this series about startup basics, we will try to understand and learn from insights shared by various phenomenal people around startups, product, growth, sales, strategy, and everything in between. My name is Arun Verma, and let's get started. In today's episode, we will talk to John Ferrara, who is the founder and CEO at Nimble CRM. John is not new to entrepreneurship. He is best known as the co-founder of Goldmine, which was one of the early pioneers in the Salesforce automation and CRM for SMBs. After getting a successful exit from that company in 1999, now John is working on Nimble CRM. We will talk about how to build and grow your network, your meaningful relationships in this business and startup world, especially as an entrepreneur. So here's the episode. Hello, John. Welcome to Insights Alley. And thanks a lot for taking out some time for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Arun, my pleasure. I love to help grow others. It's how I grow. And so any opportunity that I can to teach and preach about how people can achieve their passion, plan, and purpose in life is a great day to me.
Awesome. So John, would you like to start telling us your story in brief, like from Goldmine to Nimble, and what are you doing these days?
You bet. So sometimes I feel like I've been in the relationship management business all my life. I got involved in building software for connecting people to people before Outlook or Salesforce existed.
Right.
So before there was any contact managers, before there were any CRMs, I was working in a technology company trying to sell other people technology, and I struggled with managing the connections and the conversations and the pipeline and the marketing.
Right.
Looked around for a tool that would enable me to do it and couldn't find it. So this is like 1988, 89. I quit my job and started a company called Goldmine to build the first program that integrated email, contact, calendar, sales, and market automation into a singular team tool. And it turned out to be a goldmine for not just myself, but all of our customers, which we had millions of, and grew the company over the next 10 years to about $100 million in revenue. And then I sold that company and retired for 10 years in 1999. And I raised three children. And it was, I really feel blessed to have been able to be a present father and husband during those 10 years. But it also gave me time to swim in the social river and begin to use social media and see the immense power of how it's going to change the way we all work, play, buy, and sell. That is social media. And I started looking for a relationship management tool that integrated social, and I couldn't find it. And I started looking for looking at CRM and saw they weren't really about relationships, they were more about reporting. And that we work for the CRM and we have to go to the CRM to use it. So I envisioned coming out with a new CRM, the first CRM that worked for you by building itself automatically from the data in and around your business, which is email, contact, calendar, social, and the other business apps you have. And then let you use that wherever you work, because it's everywhere we're working, in email, in social, in business apps. We need to know who somebody is, what their business is about, and the history of interaction, and then they take next steps. And we don't do those things because we have to go to the CRM to do it. And so that's why I built Nimble, as the first CRM that works for you by building itself from Office and G Suite and works with you wherever you work.
Right. Awesome. So, John, as an entrepreneur and in business startup world, I personally see and like feel this universal truth more and more that it's all about the people, right? So the people you work with, your co-founders, your teammates, your customers, your investors, is like your relationship is your networks, right? So first of all, what are your views on this? And also, what kind of work relationships as an entrepreneur should one try to make moving forward in their journey, according to you?
So I really believe that your network is your net worth. Your personal brand plus your professional network will help you achieve your dreams in life.
Right.
And if your dreams in life are to help other people grow, if you help other people grow at scale, you can achieve anything that you want. And so I think that if you were thinking about how do I build my brand, how do I grow and nurture my network, like a right. garden in and around me. You should think about your garden of your relationships like a sustainable garden, right? You don't want to have a garden that requires a lot of water and pesticides and a lot of work. You right. want a garden that really is self-sustaining, almost like an organic sort of a natural garden. And so you should be trying to attract people to you that are ideally share your own passions that you have.
Right.
Because those are the easiest people to attract to yourself. And so, for instance, my passions are sales, marketing, social media, startups, entrepreneurship. Those are my business personas, right?
Right.
But then I also have my personal personas that I love backpacking and family and barbecue and mountain biking and hiking and things like that. And I think you need to be attracting to yourself both personal and professional people that share your passions, because ultimately you want to build a sustainable garden around yourself. And so what I do to attract other people is I identify people that inspire me. So people that inspire me and thought leaders in sales and marketing and social media. And what I do is I share their content and attribute their name. So that means that if you're a thought leader in sales or marketing or social, I would share your content and put your name in the attribution and in hashtag the category, pound sales, pound marketing. And what that does is it helps me to build my brand, but it also helps to build the Nimble brand, but it also builds relationships with that thought leader, that influencer, and also their community. And and then that person becomes an evangelist and friend. Friend of mine and evangelist for my products. And that's how we've scaled the Nimble brand globally without spending a dime on marketing. And anybody listening to this today can do that to build their personal and professional brand, their personal and professional networks. And if you establish your network properly and you're paying those people forward on a daily basis, they will help you achieve your dreams in life.
Awesome. So there are like multiple different type of relationships. So should there be any different approach in, let's say, if you are trying to connect with a potential teammate that you people you want to hire, or let's say in B2B SaaS, you are trying to reach out to a decision maker in an enterprise company, or let's say investor. So should there be a different approach to this whole relationship building part, or what are your thoughts?
You know, I think that people connect to people that they like, know, and trust, and that connecting with other human beings is the same, regardless if you're trying to hire them or get or sell something to them or get them to talk about you. It's they're really all just people.
Right.
And so the best way to connect with another human being is to listen to them, find ways to add value. And eventually they'll actually reach out to you. You don't even have to cold call them. But if you do end up connecting with them, a cold call, a LinkedIn invite or a phone call or an email or however you reach out, you'll have warmed the relationship up. And so the best way to get to know another human being is to walk in the digital footprint, add value to whatever conversation that they're having, sharing their content, commenting on their stuff, whatever. And if you do that in a natural, relevant, authentic way, then they'll see you. And when they see you, you should have already created an identity that resonates, where they see you as a person of value, right? So if I were to look at your background, you know, you've got a nice avatar with a smiling face. You've got this nice words that talk about always be learning. You talk about your passion, startups, product, and growth. And then you have content that talks about sort of your background and stuff. And all of that makes you more human and easier to connect with. But if you think about your persona, LinkedIn is like one leg of a chair. It's like walking into my business lobby. And Arun, if you want to know John Ferrara, you can go to my LinkedIn resume. I call it my resume because it's my business persona. And you'll learn about my business background. But if we're going to have a connection over time, then you're going to need to know me and build connections with me across what I call the five F's of life: family, friend, food, fun, and fellowship. These are the softer places that people can connect to where the permanent connection happens. As an example, If I was selling to your company and all we had was a business relationship, and all of a sudden there was a business hiccup, right? Maybe there's a price change and somebody else can compete with me on price.
Right.
If we didn't have a relationship, you might just switch the contract to the best price because it's all about price. But if there was a relationship where we got to know one another, where we were friends, where we shared and broke bread together, we might have gone to a ball game together, or where our families might have gone and picnic together, whatever it is, you'd pick up the phone and you'd call me and say, John, we have a problem. Price, I have a price for the products that you sell to me that is radically different. Can we work something out? And that's the value of a human relationship. And that's why I think that it's so important today to move beyond the business lobby, move beyond the LinkedIn, and to take relationships into places like Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Right, right.
And more importantly, human face-to-face.
Right. I think Nimble is based on this framework only. So I wanted to get to know if there are any good insights that you have or experience you have had while using Nimble yourself. Also, can you explain a bit how Nimble works and helps in this?
You bet. So I think the thing that we all struggle with is scaling relationships.
Right, exactly.
So there's a thing called the Dunbar limit there that you can only maintain about 100 people in your head at one time, but we all have thousands of connections or more.
Right.
And so how do you effectively manage the disparate relationships across all the different places that they exist today? And today, on a personal basis, you might have an iCloud account, a Gmail account, and maybe even an IMAP account, and maybe a G Suite or Office 365 account. So how many accounts do you have, Arun?
I'm on LinkedIn, AngelList, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter.
Right, right. And I'm not even talking about, I'm not talking about just the social ones. I'm talking about just your email
accounts. Right, exactly. So I'm on G Suite and obviously normal Gmail. It's a lot of places.
It's overwhelming. And so on a personal basis, you have contacts and conversations that are in seven different places.
Right.
But on a business basis, the company you work at, you probably have G Suite or Office.
Right.
And every team member has a separate contact database, which means there is no unified system or record of relationships in your business unless you put in a CRM. And those are only used for prospects and customers. And you need to connect to more than prospects and customers to grow a business. There's people in sales, marketing, customer service, accounting, PR, biz dev, corporate. And so today, your emails, your contacts, your calendars are separate applications. So if you go to G Suite or Gmail, that contact has no context.
Right.
The history of interactions that you and the team have had on email, calendar, and social, and you have no insights. Who is Arun? What is his business about? Who's connected with them? What's the history of interaction? And you need all that in order to engage effectively. And that's the magic Nimble provides, is it will go into any business and automatically unify any contacts from any application across any place into a singular platform, enrich it with the people and company background data so you don't have to Google somebody. You Nimble them and then automatically log every interaction that you and the team have on email, calendar, and social. But then, most importantly, work back wherever you're working. So if you're in Gmail, G Suite, if you're in Office, if you're inside of Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, AngelList, Crunchbase, if you're inside of QuickBooks, MailChimp, HubSpot CRM, Salesforce CRM, it doesn't matter. Nimble, you could Nimble anyone anywhere is because it's plugged into all those places. And then you can engage more intelligently. And I'm going to give you a hard example of that.
Sure.
A real life example.
Sure.
So earlier I said that in order to build your brand and your network, you need to share content that is inspirational, educational, in and around the areas of promise of your products and services.
Right.
And that's what I do on a daily basis. I curate content and I share it.
Right.
That's like dripping digital lures in the social river outside your business. And then people bite on that.
Right.
Right. And so I have a formula for that. It's called the 5 E's of social business.
Okay.
Educate, enchant, engage, embrace, and empower. So you educate with enchanting content with the intent to inspire, and then you engage the people that connect with the intent to empower them to grow. Okay.
Right.
And so this is my philosophy of fishing. If you teach people to fish, they'll figure out yourself fishing poles. And that's the whole philosophy that we built Nimble to do. And so I do that on a daily basis across all my different identities, which then creates impressions with people and connections. So there was somebody in Twitter who was talking about me. Because Nimble listens to the conversations that are in and about you and your brand,
right. It
noticed this person talking about me. And because Nimble enriches those people with background information about them and their business and then matches it to the DNA of people that matter to me, it was able to notify me that this was an important conversation, which I then went and engaged in. And because Nimble's plugged into Twitter, I was able to nimble that contact and see that this person who was talking about me was the head of CRM and data at Disney.
Oh, wow.
Disney. So Nimble basically gave me the context and insights to respond to the conversation in the Twitter stream better, because if I'm going to respond to somebody, I should know who they are and what the business is about.
Right.
And because of the way he talked about me, he essentially talked about me in a very intimate way. He said, John Ferrara has been teaching and empowering people to be more authentic and relevant in their engagement with relationship managers and CRM since Goldmine, and now doing it with Nimble. So he talked about me in a very intimate one-to-one way, which gave me permission to not only respond to him effectively in the public Twitter stream, but also to reach out privately. And because Nimble will enrich contact with people and company data, including their email and phone number, I emailed him. All right, the Twitter stream right there. So I was able to do all this. Nimble automatically built a record, gave me his contact info, responded to him, emailed him. And so the conversation shifted from Twitter to email, where Nimble continued to follow and work in those places, to a LinkedIn invitation, to a LinkedIn message. Nimble is still in LinkedIn following me with this conversation. And in the LinkedIn conversation, I was able to learn that not only does he live in my town, but our kids go to the same school.
Oh, wow.
So I invited him for a face-to-face meeting, because the more digital we get, the more human we need to be. We need to take relationships from online to face-to-face. And I spent an hour with him, deepened our relationship, and now he's an evangelist. He talks about Nimble, and he's a Nimble customer.
Wow.
And that's an example of how Nimble works for you by building itself and then works with you wherever you're working. And that's the biggest cause of failure of CRM is lack of use, because you have to go to it, and bad data, because you work for it. You have to type stuff into it. And that's why we built Nimble as the first CRM that works for you by building itself and then works with you everywhere you're working.
Awesome, awesome. So some great examples you just gave around warm pings also. I wanted to ask, John, as in like very early stage entrepreneur who's trying to grow their, build their product and grow it, sometimes it's very hard to reach out to people who are, let's say, 5 or X or 10X to your level, right? Because they are busy and important people. So we are doing some warm touches and warm pings around all their social media. But what should be the first hard touch point, and how should one approach that? So for example, hard touch point would be an email. So I'm interested in knowing what made you say yes to my email when I asked you to be my guest on podcast, given like we had no prior conversation before. It was a cold email, right? So what did I do right? What did I do wrong? How should one approach this thing?
Sure. So I definitely think that you should ideally word the outreach in a relevant and authentic way.
Right.
And and what you did is you personalized it, right?
Right.
You listened to my words and you regurgitated them back to me.
Right.
And that immediately changed you from 99% of the people that outreached to me, because it's all generic emails that are basically powered by Engage.io or Tout App or SalesLoft.
Exactly.
And it's all the same message for everybody. And if you don't reach out in a one-to-one relevant and authentic way, you get ignored. So you started by walking in my footprint, listening to my conversation, and then you personalized it by sharing something that vibrated with you.
Right.
And then you told me about you, and then you had an ask.
Right.
And you even made it more sort of real by using emojis. And all all of these were good sort of personal starts. But then you benefited by having an identity across a variety of places, because ultimately I'm going to Google you. Actually, I nimbled you.
Right.
And I'm going to peruse your background to just verify that you are who you are, and that it's something that I might want to do.
Right.
And then it was easy.
Oh, wow. Wow. Makes sense. Makes sense. So personalization and relevancy is like key to sending and asking someone some of something while emailing them. Makes sense. Makes sense. Also, you know, these days I've been in touch with the CEO of a big startup. And the interesting part is, yes, obviously I've emailed him, but most of my conversation that is happening on Instagram DM. And that's crazy for me, because, you know, it was a cold email and a cold Instagram DM. But the conversation started when they had put on a story, Instagram story, and I kind of replied to them. That was the main point we started our conversation on. So I never met him. I have not had any introductions made. But that Instagram story was the focal point which started our conversation. So yeah, that's crazy.
So was it your Instagram story
His Instagram story. I replied to them and then I paved my way into grabbing their attention.
So which company?
I don't know. I shouldn't say the name. But
why not?
I don't know. I'm still trying to persuade him of. I still have an ask to ask him.
That's fine. You can tell me privately.
Sure. After that.
But by the way, in your email
signature,
you don't have your Instagram. I think you should.
Okay. Makes sense.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, sure.
I think for people to connect with you, you need to roll up your sleeves and show them your heart. You know.
Right. Right.
And it personalizes you. And it also lets me get to know who you are, right?
Right.
A little bit about your background and your stuff. So you definitely want to do that.
Sure. Makes sense. So let's say now we have started with a conversation with a person or even met the person. Now, how should an entrepreneur nurture and grow that relationship to make it long lasting? What are your views on that?
Okay, so you started a relationship and you want to grow it?
Exactly.
And is there a type of person, or it doesn't matter?
In business and startup context also only. So let's say I am working on a social media app. So I reach out to, let's say, some VP of product in Instagram. So that would be a very good person to connect to, right? So now I've started a conversation to a VP of, let's say, Instagram, a VP of product, and I'm making a social media app. So how should I try to grow and nurture that relationship?
Okay. Have you ever connected with them in a one-to-one?
No, I'm just taking it in a hypothetical manner. So
okay. So I think that the example that I shared earlier with the Disney person is a sort of a perfect example of that. Hmm. That things start – so if you set up identities across the key places where your core prospects have conversations, right? And for me, it's Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Crunchbase, AngelList, et cetera, right? And you start to share content across those places, then people are going to bite, right? And that's what happened with you, with this person, is they bit.
Right.
How do you then take that bite and then turn it into something more? Well, you need to first off be able to determine which bites are best, right?
Right.
Because if you're fishing in the ocean and you throw out a big net, you can't just bring everything into the boat. You need to bring in the ones that are going to give you the most value, and maybe the ones that you could add the most value to, right?
Right.
And so that you can then determine if this is something that you would want to focus your attention and energy on. And in the process of that, you want to create enough touch points to take conversation from that softer place.
Hmm.
And for me, the softer places are Twitter and Instagram.
Right.
To a more firm place, which would be possibly a LinkedIn connection and or a actual calendar connection, right?
Right.
Because ultimately, you need to take these digital soft touches into one-to-one conversations.
Makes sense.
And before you do the one-to-one conversation, you need to do your homework. You need to know who they are and what the business is about, because it's your job to add value. We're on this planet to help other people grow.
Right.
And so for you to then take that connection and grow it into something permanent, you need to find a way to add value. You may learn that by just nimble in them and their company, but you're going to learn most by asking some simple questions and shutting up and letting people talk.
Hmm.
And if you let somebody talk to tell you their story, not only will you learn about ways to add value to them, but they'll love you because people love to be seen and heard.
Right.
It is the most basic need that we all have, which is why we spend so much time posting crap in our social apps
right.
so that people then plus one, like, comment, and engage
exactly.
with us
right.
because we're all starving.
Right.
And if you could find ways to feed people's souls, they'll love you. But most importantly, you need to truly add value. That's the follow-up and follow-through.
Right.
And the best way to take that relationship and deepen it further is to add value. And the simplest way to add value is to do an intro.
Okay.
Everybody needs somebody. And if you could figure out which somebody's in your network that you can help that person with, that's a natural way to add value. And the other way to add value is to figure out what that person's passion, plan, and purpose in life and find ways to blow wind in their sails. And that might be, you know, you lending a hand in some way or another. And what I like to do with other influencers is I give them my soapbox and give them the ability to tell their story on my platform because we have hundreds of thousands of users
right.
and the benefit to people to, you know, get access to that. And so either way, if you want to deepen relationships, you need to take the soft connections into firm connections, learn more about people, find ways to add value, and then basically rinse and repeat. You have to just continue
right.
to do that because people will lose touch over time and you need to basically periodically go and reconnect to recharge the relationship.
Makes sense. What if the person is like very senior or at very higher level in terms of learning and experience? How can a person, an entrepreneur, be of value to that person? I'm curious to know because I agree with your example that introductions or providing some sort of value is the best way. I remember once you mentioned in the podcast, shout out to the SaaS podcast, the intent of any relationship should be desire to serve the other person and help them grow. Such a great thought. So for example, how as a person, Arun as a person can be of value to you, John? I'm curious to know, how should I think around this and be of value to you?
Well, I think that you started with your outreach email by simply taking the time to truly listen to my words.
Right.
And to share with me the ones that vibrated with you,
right.
that inspired you. And so I was leaving my doctor's office the other day, and in America, the doctors have like 5 or 10 rooms, and they put the patients in and they go back and forth between the rooms
right.
to maximize their engagement. So I was walking out of my room and I bumped into this little old man and I looked down at him and I said, "Fuck, you're Mick Jagger."
Oh, okay.
And sorry about the F word there.
It's
so,
okay.
but I was just sharing my expression, right? My shock, right?
I mean,
you don't expect to see Mick Jagger every day.
Right.
And he was really short and really old.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, why does this guy get up on stage 100 times a year? He's kind of old to do that. And he certainly doesn't need the money.
Right.
And I think that he does what he does because he loves the dance with the people. He loves the feedback. He loves to move people.
Right.
And so even though I may have many more years of experience or success than you do, Arun, that you connected with me by sharing how I moved you, which was a pat on my back to let me know that the work that I do is valuable to others. And so you don't have to worry about being too small or insignificant to be able to reach out to whomever. Because whomever you reach out to has needs as well.
Right.
And you can find ways to serve those needs.
Wow, makes sense. By the way, you are a very good storyteller, I must say.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Awesome. So what are your thoughts on mentors and mentee relationship, especially in business startup world? Because I certainly want to be mentored by an entrepreneur who is, you know, 5 or 10 times ahead of me in this journey. First of all, how should we do that? How to even find mentors? And to be honest, most important is how to persuade them to mentor you.
Yeah, I think that your first steps are an excellent example, a blueprint of how to do that, right?
Okay.
So you have somebody that you've set your mind on that you'd like to learn from, right?
Right.
And the thing you have to recognize is that most people who are active at doing what they're passionate about maximize every second of every day, and they don't really have the bandwidth to spend much time on outside. So I don't think you could necessarily expect that somebody would become your mentor overnight.
Right.
But they might spend time with you, right? Mm-hmm. If you reached out to them, whether it's on a phone call or a coffee or whatever.
Right.
And your outreach would be an effective way to do that by having spent time in their trail and learned about their passions and reach out in a relevant, authentic way to initiate a conversation. And right. You did that, and we're having that conversation, and I'm sure you're learning something from our conversation.
Exactly.
So in some respects, I'm mentoring you in the moment, and at the same time, your audience that is sharing in this, listening to this conversation.
Right.
But then taking that into like an ongoing thing gets more difficult, I think. And I think you have to earn your way there, right? So you have to somehow demonstrate that the investment that they made in you is having change or result, and that you'd like to come back and ask additional questions or get more. But if you set forth as your only goal and your first goal to that you be their mentor, then you'll probably fail because it's too big a ask too soon.
Makes sense.
It's kind of like meeting a girl at a club and asking her to marry you in that moment.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
As opposed to asking her if she'd like to go have a coffee sometime, and then taking that coffee into a movie, and the movie into a dinner, and the dinner into a picnic in the forest, and that into a relationship. And at some point in the relationship, you ask for a deeper commitment. It's going to be much easier to get there than if you basically ask at an inappropriate time.
Wow. Makes sense. I knew it would be a good question to ask to you, as you have such a long career and you'll be the perfect person because you have been on the both side of the table, I think. Could you think of an example where back in the day when you were trying to find mentors, or who were your mentors? How did you interact with them? How did you find them and kind of paved your way into that relationship?
Well, I think my most memorable mentor was my Uncle John.
Okay.
He was president of IEEE worldwide.
Oh,
I don't know if you know what IEEE is. It's the International Electrical Engineering Association.
Right.
He graduated from MIT in the 30s and 40s and helped invent radar and microwave.
Wow.
He had his own aerospace company where he built the guidance and communication systems for NASA, including Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo. And he founded the and essentially established the engineering and computer science department at my university that I eventually attended, and was the dean there and would make time for me regularly to come in and talk about my journey and give me advice.
Right.
And the thing that I loved about him was that no matter how busy he was, he always had a moment for me and was quietly so instrumental in me finding my passion, technology, pursuing my goals, building my own company, and supported me on a personal and professional level.
Right.
And so that's just one example of a mentor that I had, and I feel so lucky to have had them so close in my family.
Awesome. Name of the gentleman was
John Guerrera.
Okay.
And I actually created a foundation in his name at the university where it funds students of diversity, right? So students from diverse backgrounds that possibly need help in engineering, and it is a scholarship fund. And I get letters every year from students talking about how their journey was really powered by the help that gave them.
Wow.
And I just think it's a nice dedication to him and his wife, my Aunt Jo, who was my dad's little sister. Josephine Ferrara. But so John J. Guerrera was a mountain of a force in the technology industry, but he always had time for little old me.
Awesome. So, John, there is one more type of relationship you also mentioned that is very important, especially in kind of B2B SaaS companies, which is with your customers and decision makers and even your partners that you make for cross-selling and distribution channels for your products and services, right? So could you explain a little bit about the relationship that you have cultivated with Microsoft over many years and what kind of key insights and learnings you could share with us?
Well, the way that we were able to scale Goldmine, when we started it in an apartment on $5,000, we never took a dime of venture.
Oh, wow.
And we grew it to $100 million in revenue.
Wow.
So the way that we did that was we identified the influencer of our prospect, and we built relationships with them. And in those days, if you bought PCs and printers and hard drives, you needed to buy Novell to tie it together. Novell was the network operating system of a business. So back in the 80s and 90s, Novell was the king of networking software. And there were resellers, Novell resellers, that sold the network and installed it and tied together all the PCs and printers and hard drives.
Okay.
And so what I did was I went and got all the Novell resellers to use Goldmine, and they started to resell Goldmine. And that's how we never had to take a dime of venture, because we were able to access the Novell resellers' thousands of customers, because they then recommended it and installed it for us.
Okay.
And that's how we scaled to our first $100,000 in month in revenue. Okay. And the thing is that Microsoft doesn't innovate, they iterate. They wait for somebody else to build the market, then they come in when it's big enough and they build a product that's good enough, and they use their muscle of billions of users and hundreds of thousands of VARs to eat companies. And Microsoft ate Novell by coming out with NT Server. And we then basically mapped into NT Server and SQL Server and Exchange Server by requiring it for a new product that we built called Goldmine Enterprise, which then helped sell NT Server, SQL Server, and Exchange Server. So we became strategic to Microsoft because we became the number one ISV. We drove more sales of those products than anybody else. So then Microsoft started pushing us to all their resellers, and that's how we scaled to $100 million in revenue. So fast forward to Nimble.
Right.
When we first came out with Nimble, there was no more Novell, and NT Server was used for on-prem networking. But in the cloud, people use Gmail G Suite as their operating system and as their email contact and calendar server. So there wasn't really any more they didn't need NT Server, SQL Server, and Exchange Server. Google kind of took over all that. And we rode that wave as a ISV in the cloud, working with Google and their resellers to bundle Gmail G Suite and Nimble as a simple sales and marketing system on top of G Suite. Google became an investor and we started to scale, but then history repeated itself.
Okay.
Microsoft built Office 365. So they didn't innovate, they iterated. They waited for Google to prove and build the cloud productivity market.
Right.
Then they came out with a solution that was good enough and they started to sell it. And we saw, because we saw this happen before, we started to build for Office. So we basically are the simple CRM for Office and G Suite. And started to invest not just in integrations and product, but relationships with people, because people make business decisions at companies. And so we not only integrated with the products, but built relationships with the product managers and the marketing managers, but then also built relationships with the channel people that ran their global channel and the marketing people thereof, which then Microsoft brought us into a program where they signed a resale agreement where they're reselling Nimble with Office worldwide through their channel, which gives us access to the distributors and resellers. And they only did that because of the relationships that we built. And so you can't just think about doing product integrations. You got to do people relationships to get involved in the programs that will help scale the product integrations that you've done. And so the philosophy that we have on that is products, people, and programs help scale business, biz dev, business relationships.
Right, makes sense. John, in the same podcast, shout out to the SaaS podcast again, you mentioned when you started Nimble, you have been out of tech business for around 10 years. So you had to build your brand again. So of course, in this day and age, making a personal brand apart from your company brand as well is very, very important. But I wanted to know, what do you mean by that? And what would your advice be for entrepreneurs in building a personal brand for themselves?
Sure. So I think that if you were to go and look at SaaS companies, like right. let's just say, you know, Buffer App or right. or Hootsuite right. or, you know, whatever, right? There's a corporate identity involved with all those companies.
Right.
And so there is a, you know, a Buffer App Twitter account, there's a Hootsuite Twitter account, blah, 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 blah. But if all you do is share content on your corporate identity, that's not enough in today's world. Because right. I think that a brand is built on the promises it makes and the experience it delivers. And much of that brand and promises is built and delivered by the customer-facing business team members. So you need to have the team leadership and even the team members' brands being built. And so when we started to build the Nimble brand, we identified influencers in social sales and marketing, started to share content about social sales and marketing with not just the corporate identity, but also my personal identity. And at the same time, I didn't just share business content. I shared content across my five F's of life, my passion, plan, and purpose on our personal side, right. because I think that's how people connect and stay connected. And so, so basically, by sharing that content on my brand, my team members' brands, and our corporate brand, we were able to more effectively scale the Nimble brand because we humanized it with the personal brands, and that added to the corporate brand.
Makes sense. This human element is very important in even for corporate brands as well. John, what about quality versus quantity in your network and your relationships? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that at some point you get overconnected, overcommunicated, and you can't even if you use a tool like Nimble, you can't effectively go back and manage and nurture all those relationships. And I think there's an 80-20, if not a 90-10 rule in life where the 10 or 20% of people, they matter most.
Right.
And so I think that there's a reason why this 5,000 limit on Facebook, as far as the number of connections, I think that, you know, once you get to 1 million followers, you don't know who they are. And I'll tell you. When Goldmine had 30 employees, I knew everybody. When it had 350, I saw strangers in the crowd.
Right.
And it gets harder to manage. And so while I think it's great to have, you know, tons of followers, I don't actively sort of pursue a massive following. Some people have hundreds of thousands. I think I've got 20 or 25,000. And even that's large. But it's for me, it's been manageable.
Okay. So how one should try, for example, let's say they're trying to connect to someone in the Silicon Valley. So should one try to have a very limited set of people, but very quality relationships, or should strive for more quantities? How should one think about this?
You know, I don't think you need to necessarily worry about this. I think that if you want to connect with certain people, what you should do is you should figure out what type of persona and brand is going to be most resonating and effective with those people.
Right.
And begin to build that brand, right?
Right.
And so and what kind of people do you want to connect with, right? So you're a startup and growth and product guy, right? So that's sort of your story, right?
Exactly.
And so for you to be able to connect with product growth and startup people, you probably want to start sharing content from product growth and startup people that are thought leaders and eventually start having conversations with those thought leaders, which ultimately leads to you becoming a thought leader.
Right.
And it's a simple formula, but it works. And I'll give you a simple story example to illustrate that.
Sure.
So let's pretend the Silicon Valley is a cocktail party.
Right.
right? You could translate that, right? Silicon Valley, Bay Area, whatever, Bay Area to Mountain View.
Right.
But it's a cocktail party, right? Just pretend it's a cocktail party.
Sure.
And you don't walk into a cocktail party and say, hey, anybody want to learn about startups, product, and growth? I'm a thought leader, right?
Right.
You're not going to do that.
Obviously.
But you might walk into that room and look for people having conversations where you might want to go and connect with a certain group.
Right.
And even then, you don't walk up to that group and go, hey, I'm Arun. I'm a startup, product, and growth guy. Right?
Right.
So you walk up to that group and you stand adjacent and you begin to listen. Hmm. And while listening, you learn about what's important to them and what they're having conversations about. And then slowly you interject and add some value. So let's say they're talking about growth metrics and churn or CAC or LTV.
Right.
And you might go, well, you know, interesting. You know, I read a recent article by David Skok, who is on the board of HubSpot.
Right.
And the metrics that he always talks about is the LTV CAC ratio, where it should be at least 3 times.
Or the payback period, something on the
line. Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, based off that, I actually think this, right? So you not only share knowledge, but you share your insights on that knowledge that push it a little bit further.
Wow,
and then somebody turns over to you and goes, what's your name? Oh, I'm Arun. Well, what do you do? Well, actually, I'm a product growth startup guy.
Right.
Oh, really? Tell me more, right? And so then you're having a conversation with these thought leaders, and then somebody new walks in the room, and they look around, and they see these influencers who they recognize, and then they see you, who they assume is one of them, a thought leader, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, you've metamorphosized into a butterfly.
Right. Makes sense. Also, I personally think when you are trying to reach out to a certain person, it's very important to have a call to action and a hard ask. You can not just email everyone and say, advise me or help me or
no,
I want to connect.
No,
obviously, you should not be doing
that.
Any example or anything you could think of that people do wrong, any mistakes that people generally do wrong, either reaching out to people, seeking guidance, help, advice, or even in sales pitch, or something that you think people should be doing more of?
Yeah. Well, I think a perfect like no-no is a generic LinkedIn invite.
Right.
You should personalize it.
Makes sense.
And before even going in and inviting them on LinkedIn, you should walk in their footprint and add value to the conversation so they actually know who you are when you're reaching out. But more importantly, once they do connect, it is a very big no-no to follow up with a sell, ask, right? Like,
right.
And that happens all the time where people basically, they ask for a connection and then they send you a pitch.
Right.
And the pitch is to sell you something.
Happens.
Yeah. And I think that in whatever outreach you do, keep it short, keep it succinct, do your homework. Have a clear ask, and ideally the ask is of value to them somehow.
Interesting, yeah. I think it should be a small ask also, at least in the starting, right? So you either ask for a 5-minute phone call or something on those lines. Okay. Another great benefit of great relationships, I think, is introductions and recommendations, right? So how would you suggest a person and introductions and recommendations to be done in a right way? In fact, from all three parties that are involved, and how should that be done in a right and sincere way?
Well, it's sort of a vague question. So in regards to introductions, when you're having a conversation with somebody, you're going to learn enough about them and what they need to do to grow in life that you could easily make a recommendation. For instance, you're a startup product growth guy, right?
Right.
And if I were to say, you know, Dharma Shah is an investor and a dear investor in Nimble and a dear friend of mine, and you should definitely have him on the podcast. And you go, Dharma Shah, I can never meet Dharma Shah. Shit.
He's the CTO of HubSpot, right?
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. And co-author of the book Inbound. So you know, that'd be an example of a simple method that you could use, because if you're really truly present with another human being, they're going to tell you everything that you need to know about how to add value to them. And you should just make it a point of every interaction to find a way to add value. And the most important thing is to follow up and follow through, is to do it, right?
Right.
Because most people think about doing good things. They just don't do them because they're human. They don't write it down and they don't follow up.
Right. Makes sense. Interesting. Also, what should be the sincere way of asking for an introduction, if asking for a recommendation or an introduction? What should be the sincerest way to do so?
Well, I'll give you an example.
Sure.
So we had an intern at Nimble this summer.
Sure.
And his name is Yajas.
Okay.
And Yajas is actually Indian.
Okay.
And Yajas asked me for a recommendation on his LinkedIn. But he didn't ask me until after spending the summer here being the best intern we've ever had.
Oh, wow.
The ask for the recommendation didn't occur until they'd already added so much value that it's a no-brainer to do that, because I already told him any number of times how invaluable and how much I appreciated his service.
Makes sense. Awesome. Any resource you'd like to suggest to the listeners? Any books, people, courses, blog, newsletter, anything that you consume or you think people should consume?
Yeah, I think there's a Bible on relationships, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Awesome book.
Most of the people who I know who retired at a young age read a book called Think and Grow Rich.
Okay.
Napoleon Hill.
Okay. Anything you would like to plug in? Your Twitter, blog, LinkedIn, and also how can people reach out to you if they want?
Sure. So if you just Google me, John Ferrara, J-O-N-F-E-R-R-A-R-A, you'll find all my identities. Feel free to connect on whatever channel is comfortable for you. And it's actually a point that I make to anybody listening, is that if somebody Googles you or Nimbles you, you should be on the front page. That's your goal, is to basically own your name.
Yeah, that's the point of personal branding, right?
Yes. And then the other thing is, I encourage anybody listening to go try Nimble for themselves, because I believe we all have a golden Rolodex. A Rolodex is basically an old-fashioned place to put business cards, and that we don't take good care of our network, and that Nimble is a perfect personal CRM, and you should use a platform like that. And it's free for 2 weeks, nimble.com. And if you want to use it beyond that, I'll give you a discount code that'll save you 40% off the first 3 months.
Oh, wow.
JON40.
Okay, awesome. Great. Uh-huh. So, John, thank you so much for all the insights. It was like a real pleasure having you on the show and talking to you. So, thank you very much.
You bet, Arun. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to share the conversation with you and your community. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's it, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Show notes would be available in the link below, or you can just go to insightsalley.com/notes. Please rate, review, subscribe in whichever app you are listening to this episode. And most importantly, give feedback in comments, reviews, or you can just email me at arun@insightsalley.com. You can also follow and connect with me on Instagram, Twitter, etc. My handle everywhere is arun11192. And remember, always be learning. Bye.